This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Normal service resumes in Sligo Leitrim Junior Soccer. Carbery are Super League champions again, and for all they've won over the past 25 years, it seems this win is as precious as any of the others. We'll hear why. There's a new basketball club in Sligo. Who are the Atlantic Eagles, and what is their likely impact on the existing club in the town, the EJ Sligo All-Stars? We'll hear from one of the founding members about this new basketball entity. Sligo jockey Derek Fox talked about the decision to retire Cormac Rambler, the horse he won the Aintree Grand National with, and Leitrim in an All-Ireland hurling final. Doesn't happen too often, but it's happening this Saturday. And you're welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. If you'd like to get in touch, here are the contact details. By WhatsApp or text, the number is 083 3500 530. By email, sport at OceanFM will get us all right. And on X or Twitter, at OceanFM Sport is the handle to search for. Also coming up, we'll hear about a 900-kilometre charity cycle beginning in Donegal this weekend to remember a special Monaghan lady. But first, to Carbery Football Club in Sligo, who are celebrating a sixth Southern Hotel Super League title in seven seasons. Their 5-1 win against Cartran United at Ray McSherry Park last night means title rivals Gurchin Celtic can't catch them. At the top, Carbery are on 59 points now, with two matches remaining. Second place Gurchin on 54, but they've just one game left. So Carbery champions, Andrew Abu McLaughlin is Carbery's club secretary and a member of the playing squad.
We're glad we were able to reclaim the trophy because, in fairness to MCR, they really put us to the sword last season. I suppose they put every club to the sword. And, you know, realistically, we were chasing a lost cause. But, you know, the boys had the bit between the teeth this season. You know, Gurchin put up a formidable challenge. And those one stage there, I think we were 11, 13 points behind. But our fellas kept going, and you know they chased them down, and finally, you know, we caught them, and we got over the line last night.
And the proof of the pudding is in the amount of games you lost. It was very few in the league, just the one to date, which is some going.
Yeah, I tell you, we went out to Riverstown. I think it was the first week in September, second week in September, and they beat us 4-1. And you know, in fairness, they beat us convincingly. Damien Dunleavy and Noel Conlon, they come in at the start of the season, and that Sunday the boys didn't mince their words, and you know, after that then the boys kicked on, and you know, they never looked back, because every game we had, you know, was literally a cup final. I know it's a cliche, but we couldn't really afford to drop any points, and lucky enough we had a couple of draws in between, but then after Christmas then we've really put the foot down, and like I said, thankfully we caught up with Gurchin.
I know Carbery were determined to try and complete the six in a row last season, which didn't happen, as you say, because of MCR. But did that, in a way, refocus minds this season? Because sometimes when you lose a run like that, you can lose momentum and drift off the scene a bit. But Carbery haven't done that.
Yeah, and I suppose that's a big thing because, like I said, MCR, in fairness, it really kicked on last year, and then to beat us convincingly in the Glasshouse Hotel Cup, to beat us 5-1, and you know, you're sort of thinking to yourself, you know, could it be the end? Because I suppose everything has to come to an end at some stage. But you know, we regrouped, like I said, Damien Dunleavy and Noel Conlon come in, fresh faces, new ideas. They went and, you know, the recruitment was very good. They brought in a blend of experience and young fellas, and look, as I said, realistically, Carbery are always challenging for the league. That I wasn't so sure myself would we go on and win it, because we had to regroup. We were more or less in a transition phase as well. But like, Damien and Noel got the best out of the boys, and the boys responded.
Well, they certainly did respond in terms of the way you have motored through the second half of the season in particular. Is it possible to, of the last six titles you've won in the last seven seasons, Andrew, is it possible to pick one over the other in terms of which one mattered most?
Like you said, last year was very disappointing, the fact that we were going for the six in a row. But it's like the boys celebrated last night like it was their first one. You know, they really, really wanted to win the title back, because last year did hurt. So to me, and as I said it to the boys, last night was special because, you know, they got the trophy back. It proved, you know, a lot of people wrong as well. You know, there was people saying that could be Carberry done, because the fact that we've no youth system as well, you know, the recruitment was key. And in fairness to Damien and Noel, they got that spot on. So I definitely put last night up there was one of the best ones.
Many of you have lots of league winners' medals. I think you have 8 or 9 as it stands, maybe more. And for players like Gareth Kelly, who must be into the high teens at this stage.
I think Gareth must be up on nearly 18 to 20 at this stage. You know, but, you know, it's testament to Gareth as well. Like, you know, he just, you know, winning becomes a habit, you know, and that's what a lot of the younger lads there that have come in this season, you know, you never get sick of winning. And, you know, hopefully a lot of them lads that are there now will kick on and try to add some more to it.
And a couple of questions on that, Andrew. I mean, various clubs go through different phases, different incarnations, but Carberry, I think, are 26 years old now. So anybody who thought they were going to be a flash in the pan, I think we can put that one to bed at this stage.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, like I said, with no youth system in place, you know, it's key that we're always looking to recruit, bring in new faces to improve the squad. You know, we've done a lot locally, realistically, in Connacht. We've lost two Connacht Cup finals. You know, we definitely left one behind up in the showgrounds in 2018, but, you know, we got to the Connacht Champions Cup final this year. Salt Hill Devon beat us up at Milebush, and in fairness, we were well beat. So the summer now, again, we'll be looking to recruit, and hopefully we can get another couple of fresh faces in and try and build, as I said, that would be the aim. The aim will be to try and compete again in Connacht, because we haven't really done that in the last few years. But as I said, hopefully now in the summer we can get more lads in that'll help improve us.
And locally, you still have a potential League and Cup double in front of you, because you'll play Carterone United, who you beat last night, again in the Frank Kennedy Memorial Cup decider.
That's right, yeah. Look, as I said, it was a convincing win last night, but in fairness to Carterone, since they came up to the Super League in 2018, no more than themselves and MCR, they've really been the team that have put it up to us. You know, they're a good club on and off the pitch. We'll not take anything for granted. First thing the boys said last night after they had a couple of drinks, they said, we've a cup final now to focus on, and that's what's going to happen Saturday week over McSherry Park.
One final thought, Andrew. Your own players' perspective on the strength of the Super League and the junior soccer scene at the moment. I mean, we see clubs like Gertie and Celtic, that was their first full season in the top tier of the junior soccer season, and they were genuine contenders this season at the business end. You've got Aughna Celtic coming back up. Yourselves and MCR clearly are still prominent, preeminent clubs, but in terms of the overall strength of the league, are you encouraged by what you see week in, week out?
Oh, definitely. Look, at the end of the day, I know a lot of people can call into question the strength of the league, but you only have to look at the representative team, Sligo Leitrim this year under John Loftus, Lee Marshall and Adrian Burke. Like, they got to the last four of the Oscar Traynor Cup. Like, it's an All-Ireland competition. You know, there was a lot of representation in that squad from Carberry, but there was also other clubs well represented in it. And it's good for the likes of the league. You see Gertie Celtic, and the Celtic coming back. You know, you see the good work that's being done with Manor Rangers, Ballysteary United. All these teams are going to go from strength to strength, and that's why Carberry will never take anything for granted. And we need to go, and that's why, from our perspective, we always know we need to go and try and recruit to get bodies in, you know.
And no danger, finally, Andrew, of any of these seasoned Carberry players retiring with all these medals you have in the drawers at home?
No, we haven't time for retirement. As he said, winning becomes a habit. So the boys are well used to it, and they just want to keep going. You know, as I said, you could see from the first night we went back pre-season, the determination from the boys to try and get the trophy back that they lost last year.
Well, enjoy the celebrations, Andrew. I know you've still got the cup final to come against Carterton United, but I know you do a bit of club administration as well as play, so you know what it takes to keep a club like Carberry going.
Well, that's it, Austin. I suppose without the likes of, you know, our major sponsors, here's Niall Tierney up in the Troubadour Lounge, Damien Canard from Dooley Express, you know, without them boys, you know, and backing us the whole time, without them, none of this would have been possible. The likes of last night and the cup final to look forward to on Saturday week. So it's a big shout out to them. As I said, you know, whatever about on the pitch, if the people aren't doing the work off the pitch, then, you know, last night wouldn't have been possible.
That's Carberry's Andrew Abu McLaughlin. Most people know him as Abu. I think former Sligo Rovers boss Don O'Rear, they may have given him that nickname back in the day. On Carberry's latest Super League success in Sligo Leitrim, their sixth league title in seven seasons. And remember, they still have Frank Kennedy Memorial Cup final to come against Carterton United on Saturday week. And one footnote that we heard about this evening that were checking out at the moment, and it appears to be true, one of Abu's Carberry teammates, Gareth Kelly, last night clinched his 18th Super League winner's medal across his own playing career. Still going strong, and I gather he was coaching today with under-9s in South Sligo. Busy man, even after winning a league title, but we'll try and get a word over the coming days with Gareth Kelly to verify 18 Super League titles, winners' medals for Gareth Kelly between playing with Carberry and previously with City United and Abbey United as well. That has to be a record in any era of junior soccer in Sligo Leitrim. I can't remember even in the heady Collegians, Corinthians, Colerie Bowes days, etc. Although there might be a couple of Colerie Bowes players who can go closer to that over their playing careers. If you know somebody who can beat 18 Super League winners' medals in their junior soccer career in Sligo Leitrim, let us know. 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp or by text. Now, a new basketball club is being set up in Sligo Town. The Atlantic Eagles are being affiliated at the moment with Basketball Ireland and the North West Area Board of Basketball. The Eagles' social media posts say they're going to cater for girls and boys of all ages and abilities, from under 7 up to senior, with the aim of providing more choice and opportunities for players across various grades. The club says it's going to train and play at various as yet undefined venues across the Sligo town area. Membership info, along with details on player transfer procedures, have already been shared in recent days across the Eagles' Facebook and Instagram pages. It's understood the current club in Sligo town, Aegis Sligo All-Stars, have been directed by the National Association of Basketball Clubs to inform its membership of the intention by existing members to set up a new club. One of the founding members of the new Atlantic Eagles is Jordan Cummins.
I think over the last number of years, especially since COVID, basketball has kind of booming. The All-Stars had 500 members this year and 500 members last year, and there's a good few dropouts. So the kind of hunger for basketball has grown rapidly in the last number of years. So it's been on my mind for a while, I think, because the All-Stars got so big. Another club is viable, or there's a market there for it. So at least then there'll be more teams kind of playing more basketball, and more kids getting a chance to come in, because there was waiting lists and everything this year. And I just kind of want to see if there's, and that's where I want to, that's where I kind of built this kind of vision of another club coming out of. And again, it gives us more chances to play, more kids on the course. You look at other counties, Leitrim has 3 basketball clubs. Donegal has 6, I think 7 basketball clubs. And at the moment, there's Sligo All-Stars and there's the Red Hawks out in Dunmart. So there is a market for it, and it's kind of come from that in other ways. And seeing kind of the kids wanting to play basketball over the years. And I think it's got more popular.
So you see there's a market in terms of the club has got so big that You want to provide more choice, more basketball for players?
Yeah. Like I can see one of my kids, his group was, there was over 50 kids in it. So at that stage then you had you can usually only have a Division 1 and a Division 2 team, but they had kind of three divisions. There were still players that weren't getting, in my opinion, not enough court time. So this would kind of give another club a chance then to kind of write. There could be two more teams there. So that's kind of, you're looking at 12 and 12 at 24 at the All-Stars, and then another 12 and 12 at the Eagles, and that'd be 48 kids that can play and get a chance to kind of grow and fall in love with the game, is what I want to see. And build that out from getting them interested in it, falling in love with the game, and then growing from that and building teams and building the kind of the ethic around that. When you want to see kids come in and enjoy it, and once they enjoy it, they learn, and then they build into a team, and then eventually you'd like to see the winning then come after that.
So is this going to be a kind of a social basketball club, or a competitive one, or a mixture of the two? What sort of player are you after? What age groups are we talking about here?
All age groups, from under, we're looking at under 8 to under even senior men's now at the moment. I'd love to have a senior women's, but I'm just not sure of the numbers. I suppose the first year is going to be difficult trying to find their feet. I want them out kind of competing, I suppose, is the main thing, and playing the game. Would I love to see them competing for the All-Ireland and getting in there? I would, but at the same time, I'm not going to be pushing any kids kind of, you have to get out there and win. I want you to get into the game, enjoy the game, and then in next year, the following year, then you'd be looking at, okay, right, we've got to a certain stage, we've got a number of players there, and then we can build that out and kind of build it from there. So it's to get them in, have them come together as a team at the different age groups, and you have different levels. You have under 12s that are still kind of getting into the game and understanding this and getting to understand the rules. You have under 14s then that'd be looking at competing then for the All-Ireland, the AICC. So you want them to, every time of year, you're kind of getting a little bit better, a little bit kind of stronger, and then 16 to be the AICCs again. And then you're looking at under-19s, they're kind of say the Northwest, but there's then an under-20s competition for the National League. So we would be aiming for that as well. Again, as depending on numbers and how many players we have, we'd be kind of pushing to get as many groups full as we can. And maybe that's from transfers from Fibo All-Stars or from people groups that have expressed interest to come start playing basketball.
Presumably, you have to get permission from Basketball Ireland?
Yeah. So, up until this point, there wasn't a mechanism to demerge a club, I think is what they call it. So, what happens then is that all the members of Five Walls are offered to transfer over to the Eagles. There's a 17-day window to make their decision, and then they can come across if we have different numbers at a number of different levels. So if we have 3-4 teams that we can have enough players there for, they'll grant us the permission for them transfers to come in, and then we'll be getting our BI registration over the weekend. But the way things are at the moment, and the hunger, I think, for basketball outside of even just the All-Stars is huge. So I believe at the moment there's going to be a number of teams at a number of levels.
When will you know that you are an official basketball club, so to speak?
At the moment, I think we will be. By over the weekend, we'll be registering as Atlantic Eagles as a basketball club, because the number of people that have expressed an interest just to come into the basketball, I think there'll be enough teams there at junior level, and there's even a number of seniors. Men looking at me, which is brilliant to see, because like that, you don't always get a chance, given the numbers that we're in the All-Stars. So we'll be applying for that, but we'll be setting up as a club, and then we'll have the window then will close on the 6th of June, I think, Thursday, and then at that stage, the NABC will let us know that, right, you have got X amount of players coming to you from Sligo All-Stars. These are the numbers you have. You're allowed to go take off as with the Eagles.
Where will you train? Where will you play?
A number of venues at the moment in discussion. So a number of the halls around Sligo have given us a number of hours. So we're building that out to try and get as many hours as we can. It's sort of a chicken and egg sort of situation. Because again, we don't know how many teams we'll have and how many hours we'll need. So some of the venues, again, we'll give you X amount of hours now. And once you have a better idea, then we can kind of go and look for more hours, in particular gyms, but it will be in around Sligo town region.
The All-Stars brand is a pretty established one in Sligo when it comes to basketball, Jordan. Are you satisfied that Sligo is big enough for two basketball clubs?
Oh yeah, I am. I've been an All-Star for played him when I was a kid. I came back then when Ryan started playing my eldest, and that's 10, 12 years ago. I've seen the wave kind of changing with basketball before COVID. I think more players wanted to come in and more players wanted to try it out. And since COVID especially, it's grown exponentially. And I think this will give kids and players more chance now to get more basketball. And so probably there is a market there for it, and when you see some of the numbers that was in the All-Stars this year, I think there's plenty of kids there that will get a chance then to play more basketball with us.
So you're recruiting at the moment, Jordan. Where do I go to become an Eagle? How do I do that?
There's an expression of interest up on our Instagram and our Facebook, so check that out there. The transfer window is open for the moment. For any of the All-Stars that would like to move across, if they have any questions or any kind of queries on that, give me a buzz, or get in contact on our social medias, and I'll call them back. There's plenty of ways of kind of getting in contact. It is a big decision for some players, and I fully understand that. But I would love to see them come across and kind of grow basketball in Sligo and in the Northwest, and build out from there. It hasn't come lightly. It was a big decision for me because I've done various roles with the All-Stars. So it was chairperson, treasurer, PRO, photographer, coach. So I think the experience I've kind of got over the last 10 or so years will hopefully be able to kind of see what the structures need to be, and bring in more people along with us. So there's a number of people that want to start coaching as well. So there's coaches there that want to even get into it, and then I have a number of experienced coaches that are coming there as well. So it's trying to get that balance right to nurture in both players and coaches to get into the game of basketball.
That's Jordan Cummins, one of the founding members of the new Atlantic Eagles Basketball Club in Sligo Town. If you want to find out more about them, you'll find their pages on Facebook and on Instagram right now. And provided they attract sufficient numbers, the Eagles hope to be formally certified as a basketball club over the coming weeks. 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text if you want to get in touch. When we come back after the break, Leitrim are getting ready for an All-Ireland hurling final this weekend. Plus, Corrick Rambler, the horse with which Sligo jockey Derek Fox won the Aintree Grand National last year, and lots more besides. The horse has been retired this week. We'll get the Sligo jockey's reaction to that news. That's next.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
So, Corrick Rambler, the horse ridden to victory in the 2023 Aintree Grand National by Sligo jockey Derek Fox, has been retired. The announcement was made last Thursday evening by the horse's Scottish-based trainer, Lucinda Russell. The 10-year-old finished third in this year's Cheltenham Gold Cup and was among the favourites to win at Aintree again, but you'll know he unseated Fox at the very first fence in this year's Grand National. Derek spoke to Ocean FM Sport this week about the decision to retire the horse.
I suppose I was a wee bit sad, really, when I heard the news that he's definitely getting retired. I had heard, it was talked about after after Punchestown when he was disappointing over at Punchestown. But it's obviously sad for me to think of him not been riding him ever again. But listen, I'm delighted for the horse, and he really deserves a good retirement.
Corrick Rambler is 10 years old, which is not that old, but I suppose that the trainer, the owner, have looked at the bigger picture here.
Yeah, listen, it's not that old. He didn't win any races this season, but he actually had a good enough season in the sense that he was third in the Betfair Chase at Haydock and third in the Cheltenham Gold Cup, and he's not exactly his good form isn't that long ago. But listen, I think Lucinda and Skew have done the right thing, and it's a very classy decision to retire him when he's and he's still only 10 and he's still at the top of his game, really. But I think it's a good decision, and I'm delighted for the horse, really.
And Corrick Rambler's biggest days, of course, were with you in the saddle, namely two Cheltenham Festival winners and, of course, the 2023 Aintree Grand National. They're going to be nice memories to have.
Listen, he's been a unbelievable horse to have been associated with. The first day I rode him, he won it here, and then he won a good novice hurdle at Carlisle. He won a novice chase at Aintree, another novice chase at Cheltenham, and then he went on obviously to win two back to back ultimates at the Cheltenham Festival, and then to go on and win the most famous race in the world, really, in the English Grand National. So and then obviously to get to get placed in the Gold Cup is a massive achievement as well, and he's just been an absolute superstar. And it's unbelievable to think back on all the places he's taken me, and I'm just very grateful to have been associated with him.
And clearly, you had a rapport with Corrick Rambler, Derek. Something which Lucinda Russell, the horse's trainer, must have noticed.
Yeah, listen, I loved riding him. He had very much his own mindset, and he had his own style of running. And it just depended what he wanted to do on a given day, whether he'd be at the front, or some days he'd trail himself right out the back, and there wasn't much you could do with only bear with him. And he seemed to have this turn of speed at the end of a staying race that he could just tap into and quicken up later on, which is nearly unusual for a staying chaser to have. But he was just a phenomenal racehorse, and I loved riding him, and feel like me and him really got on well together as a team, I suppose.
Yeah, and I know you were quietly confident at this year's Aintree Grand National that Corrick Rambler could get very close to retaining the title. The nature of the most famous steeplechase in the world, I suppose, when you get unseated at the first fence, that's the nature of racing, isn't it?
Yeah, listen, I've had some great luck around the big fences at Aintree, but I was brought back down to reality very quick of how lucky you need to be. And unfortunately, me and Corrick didn't get any further than the first fence until he made a mistake and unseated me. And he then actually went down and fell at the next fence loose, and lucky enough I was able to go down and catch him, so I knew that he was safe and sound fairly quickly, so that was a relief on the day. But obviously very disappointing when he was going into the race off the back of a good run and his short price and everything, and you're very optimistic. But that's the entry Grand National for you, and I was quickly brought back down there. But I'm glad the horse is okay, and he's retiring now in one piece, and it's great for him.
But I suppose you and the horse's names are safe in racing folklore, because the names of Corrick Rambler and Derek Fox are going to be indelibly interlinked from now on.
Yeah, exactly. He'll have his name on the board as the 2023 Grand National winner, and it's a great honour, and exactly he No, he's just been an absolute superstar for me, really.
Sligo jockey Derek Fox on his entry Grand National winning horse Corrick Rambler, who has been retired at the age of 10. Well, in Gaelic games, it's not too often that we talk about Leitrim getting ready for an All-Ireland hurling final. But that's what we're at this weekend. The county's under 20 hurlers will play Monaghan this Saturday afternoon in the All-Ireland Under 20 C Championship decider. Olcan Conway is in charge of the under 20 team. He actually confirmed last weekend after Leitrim's Laurie Mar Cup loss to Cavan that he was stepping down as the senior county boss. But he's been telling Ocean FM Sport about the run of this under 20 side to the C Championship final.
There hasn't really been a C Championship in under 20 for a number of years now, and we sort of campaigned for the start of the year. We asked Croke Park, is there any chance that we could get it, and a few other counties come in behind us, the likes of Monaghan, Cavan, Longford, and them. And it's the first time there has been a C competition probably in a number of years, and I think it's been 15 years now since we had an under 20 hurling team in Leitrim. So we were delighted to have the competition, because we wanted to have an under 20 team for a long time now. We knew we had talent coming through, and we wanted to make sure we were feeding into our senior squad as well. So the run itself, we were lucky enough we got a bye into the semi final of it and played Fermanagh. We trained hard for it, and we had a good performance against Fermanagh, and we're in the final now. So all the rest of the teams had three quarter finals, but we were quite lucky. We were one of the seven teams that got through out and got a bye to the semi. So it worked out in our favour a little bit as well too.
And in terms of the squad you've assembled, some of these guys have been playing with your senior panel.
Well, there's been 11 of the squad has been on the senior squad all season, and we've had the rest of them training as, let's say, extended panel members on the squad. So they've been training hard with us. We did try to get into the Ulster League with them this year. Ulster run a very good competition, an under 20 competition with all the counties up there. The likes of Monaghan, Cavan and Fermanagh have all played in that. So we just couldn't get into it in time when we went looking to get into it. It was just about late. So there's been a number of them playing all year. Probably two or three of them have been starting on the senior team, and I would say at least another five or six of them have had some sort of experience at senior level this year. So it's a relatively young under 20 bunch as well, to be honest, Austin. There's maybe only five or six of them going over age next year. So it's been a massive bonus for them to be training with the senior players at a relatively high level and learning off the senior players at the same time. So it's great. It's been a great boost for hurling and Leitrim altogether.
Well, it sounds like it. And you saw the under 20 grade as a critical development plank for Leitrim, did you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Look, at senior level the last number of years, I've just been looking at, you know, the players that we have and the players that we lose every year. We lose lads till, we've lost two, three lads till Australia, Canada in the last 2 years, top players like Karen McDermott, Enda Martin, Colin Martin, then we've lost lads like Brenton Delaney, who was in the county the last couple of years, going back to Cork and things, and you can't keep losing these lads without making sure that you have really good lads coming through as well. So a big focus last year and this year in particular about, let's make sure we have the lads that are there, a lot of good work being done at under 15, under 17, but making sure that they're coming through to under 20 and making sure that they're coming through to senior, and let's say having a lads coming through on a conveyor belt, not on a conveyor belt as such, because there's not that many hurlers in Leitrim, but making sure that we're guaranteeing that there's at least two, three, four top quality lads coming through every year. So hopefully in long term, in another 5 or 6 years. You know, this bunch of lads that are here, they'll all still be there with another bunch of lads coming through behind them, and really trying to build an inter-county team from the bottom up, and making sure that if we do lose one or two, that there's lots of others there to pick from, you know.
And you're playing Monaghan in Saturday's All-Ireland final. Ulcan, in terms of rankings, are they close to the top of the three?
Oh, yeah, I would say they have to be. Yeah, they've done very well in the Ulster League. They have 5-6 games played in the Ulster League, very competitive against some of the top teams in Ulster. Beat Fermanagh, Cavan. They've beaten Longford in this championship. They've beaten Cavan in this championship. So they probably have a lot more experience and probably more actual playing time together than our lads. So you'd have to make Monaghan favourites for it, I would say. But our lads are playing very hard. They're very keen. They're very excited. We were training last night. We're training tomorrow night. There's a hunger within the squad to try and win on Saturday. So we're probably going in as slight underdogs, but we don't mind that. Leitrim are always going in as underdogs, Austin. We always know that. So it's just about the lads now getting ready and performing on the day, and hopefully that'll all come together on Saturday evening in Cavan and Bethany Park at 4 o'clock, and hopefully they will, you know, put on a performance that everybody in Leitrim can be proud of.
That's Leitrim under-20 hurling boss Ulcan Conway ahead of Saturday's All-Ireland under-20 C Championship final. Leitrim against Monaghan throws in at 4 in Cavan, and we'll have live updates during Saturday Sports Beat. One result to bring you from Sligo Club football tonight from Markovich Park. It's the Sligo Minor A Football League final. Our congrats to Eastern Harps, who have won it this evening, beating Drumcliff Russell's Point by 1-9 to 1-5. Finally tonight, if you're on the N15 Sligo to Donegal Road this Sunday, look out for a small but determined group of cyclists who'll be making their way southbound all day Sunday from Letterkenny through Barnesmore Gap to Sligo. The first leg of a 7-day, 900-kilometre cycle around many counties of Ireland to raise money in memory of a friend of theirs, Amanda Boylan Ní Duffy from Castleblenny in Monaghan, who died from breast cancer 2 years ago. A group of her relatives and friends are doing a cycle to raise money for 4 different charities. One of those cyclists, Fiona Duffy, has been telling me more.
Amanda was originally from Castleblenny in Monaghan, and she headed out to New York with her boyfriend, now husband, Brendan, actually around the time of 9/11, so it was very scary when she went out, but she got out okay, and that's the main thing. They got married and had a baby, Gavin, who's now 17, shouldn't say baby probably, but would always be one to us. And then from there, she always cared for other people and everything. But sadly, during COVID, she got diagnosed with breast cancer. And unfortunately, due to the times, we couldn't go out and visit her or help out or anything, but we did set up a GoFundMe, and the people of Castleblenny and the surrounding areas, friends and family, all donated something that would go towards her medical bills and stuff like that. And we couldn't get over the response that happened. And unfortunately, in July 2022, she did pass away. But even as times got tougher, she would be helping out others in the hospital. And one of her requests before she passed away was to do something in her memory and give back to the people of Blaney and to kids especially.
But she sounded like a very warm, caring person, Fiona. So you and other family members and friends have decided to keep that promise to her and go and do something, and you've decided to do a cycle, and not just any old cycle.
Oh no, we've decided to do over 900 kilometres in a week. Because we're all a bit mad, which is the only way. But sure, madness can turn into greatness. And we're starting off on May 26th in Letterkenny, and then we're heading towards yourselves in Sligo. And then from there on, we're going on to Achill, then on to Clifton, then on to Ennis, then on to Kerr, Mullingar, and then we're heading back to Amanda's hometown, Castleblenny in Monaghan. So we'll be seeing plenty of the country, so be lovely, hopefully, with the weather.
Yeah, that sounds like quite a few counties, Fiona. I know you're a Roscommon native of origin, but you're taking in Donegal, Sligo, Mayo, Galway, Clare, Tipp, Westmeath, and of course the finishing destination, Monaghan. That's quite the cycle. Have you guys been training for this?
Once it was all set up by myself, my husband Barry Duffy, and his uncle Porrick Duffy, we've been getting the bikes and everything done, but we started training in January. But none of us are experts in any way. We're all novices to the sport, except for Porrick, who did a charity cycle from Mizzen to Malinhead. So we've been calling him our expert and following his advice and stuff. Because you need to have one in every group, I say, that knows a bit more than the rest that don't know. But no, we've been all beginners and we're covering all the costs ourselves. So anything donated goes straight to the charities, nothing towards meals or diesel or anything like that. We've covered all of that. And some businesses have been amazing, sponsoring, helping us out with bikes and stuff, which get us bike parts that we don't even knew existed before this. But yeah, I know we've been training now. Our biggest day we trained together was 156. So we were doing well anyway. So we're hoping we can keep that going for a week. So 7 days in a row is a different task altogether.
I'm sure it is. Well, it sounds like you've put a fair bit of preparation into this, Fiona. And you mentioned that you're raising money for worthy causes, four of them to be precise. Can you talk us through what they are and why you've picked them?
So two of the biggest charities we have is Temple Street in Dublin and then the Children's Hospital in Belfast for sick kids, because Amanda always had a soft spot for those and she always looked after kids herself. And she always wants to give back. And then we're given to two local charities, Castellani Cancer Society, which because of Amanda's diagnosis, and her father also had a cancer diagnosis, and they were a great help. So we knew that one would be a personal one to the family. And then from my husband and myself's point of view is Saturday Club, which is a club for special needs adults and children, because Amanda always wanted to do something for her own boy. But unfortunately, she couldn't. She never got a chance to meet him. So this is a way of a gift from Amanda to our son, Patrick.
Well, that's a lovely touch and a lovely Monaghan dimension from Amanda's home county to this. And if people listening would like to make a contribution, or maybe they'll spot you and your fellow cyclists on the road, Fiona, over the course of Sunday, Monday around the Sligo area, you've set up a GoFundMe page.
Yeah, we set up a GoFundMe page. We actually have a Facebook page called Charity Cycle 2024, and it shows all the training that we have done by everyone as a group or individually, and it shows the business that's sponsored and a bit of everything. That would be where all our updates are on as well, and we have a GoFundMe link there. But if people see us out and about, we're more than happy to take a donation, or if they would like to join, don't have to be an expert. You can brush the rust off the bike like I did. My own bike is my sister's from the shed, got it all done up. And then we've another man who built his own bike. And, oh, it's something to see, I will say. Now, you won't see another bike like it in Ireland. And honestly, all are welcome. Even if it's just for 5 kilometres, 2 kilometres, all are absolutely welcome to join us as we go by.
Well, I can't wait to get a look at this bike, Fiona. I hope there's a mechanic in amongst you.
He calls himself a mechanic, so we'll say he is, yeah.
Well, it's a lovely touch. Will you be wearing Monaghan or Blaney colours during the cycle?
We actually got cycling jerseys. They just landed on Monday. So they're a nice blue colour, but sure, there'll be 7 of us in blue, and sure, you'll see the vans beside us, so you can't miss us anyway. And if in any doubt, I say you'll hear us coming. We'll have a few music playing to keep us going and everything.
And most of the cyclists are relatives of Amanda's, and you'll also be joined by friends and connections as well, I gather, during the route.
Yes, yes. We're all related to Amanda in some way through marriage, or we knew her personally and all that. But all are absolutely welcome to join us as we go by. Whether you're in a cycling club or not, or you just happen to it's a nice day and you want to get out, more than welcome to find us on our Facebook. We'll keep you updated on where we're going and how we're getting on. And sure, if you're outside in the garden, do nice, you might offer us a cup of tea. We'll come in and have a chat.
Fiona Duffy, who's one of the cyclists on the charity cycle in memory of Amanda Boylan-y Duffy. It starts from Letterkenny down to Sligo this Sunday. Look out for them if you're on the N15 and you'll find their page on Facebook. A reminder, this programme's available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts, simply search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back next week, same time, same place.